Good evening. This is Circe Westner, and I'm going to read to you The Joy of Pets for your Brat Time story tonight. I wrote this in August 2017. Many of us have wayward pet stories where even years later they make us cringe or smile, like the memory I have back when I was a little girl in Germany. My parents were hosting a dinner party for a French chef and his wife, a German count, and several high-ranking military officials. I had been banished to my room so as not to disturb the grown-ups. Somehow, while playing with my parakeet, Petey, he escaped his cage and my room and flew down the hall toward the dinner party. Running after him, I burst into the dining room and watched horrified as he careened over the elegant dining table. He dodged the lit candles, then excitedly circled above the guests' heads, cawing or chirping or whatever it is that parakeets do, before my father finally captured him in a dish towel and put him back in his cage. Army veteran Rebecca remembers one Thanksgiving when her cat climbed on the counter and gnawed on the turkey as it laid unattended. Military daughter Diane recalls that her cat Fred pried open the garbage chute in the kitchen and became the cat amongst the walls. She admits we never did get him out of there, but we'd hear him from time to time. Claire remembers getting her German Shepherd puppy for Christmas. He managed to get his tail caught in the tree lights and overwent the tree. While many of us get our pets from local shelters or from breeders, some military families get their pets from other military families who are PCSing. Stephen says, "We had two dogs, one in Turkey and one in Iran, and we had to leave both when we changed assignments. We got them from Americans that were there before us, and we gifted them to Americans that came after us." Military brat Cindy agrees. "When we were stationed in Texas, we had to leave behind our collie when we were sent to Turkey. At Offutt, another family that was leaving gave us Gigi, the Maltese. We then gave her to another family when we left for England. My brother had a pet turtle he also had to give away." Linda remembers, "We got our German Shepherd, Rolf, from an American family going home to the U.S. from Berlin. We were his third owners. The first abused him. He was a descendant of Rin Tin Tin, according to his papers." Timing is everything. There's a standing joke in my family that every time my husband goes TDY, the kids talked me into getting a new pet. I have to admit, it might be true. Over the years, we've had rats, lizards, snakes, birds, hamsters, rabbits, and dogs. Our current dog, Danny, was adopted at the Animal Humane right outside the Wyoming gate. To be fair, my son and I were only looking, with no intention of adopting, and it just so happened the puppy picked us. We had no choice. My husband got a texted photo of mostly a dog nose. The puppy was sniffing and biting the phone, so he was prepared for a new pet when he got home from his trip. While stationed in Japan, one military wife traded a Sears and Roebuck catalog for a little, tiny, white dog who turned pink when they put flea powder on her. Military dependent Margaret remembers when her family was stationed in Wiesbaden, Germany. "We went on a vacation to Holland during the Tulip Festival and found a black Pekingese puppy, but instead of leaving it quarantined for the required 10 days, we smuggled it across the border underneath the seat of the car. Daddy decided to chat with the border officer, trying to act all cool. All the while, the puppy was trying to crawl out from under the front seat, and Mama was a wreck. We made it back to Germany with no more incidents." Years ago, there were many reasons why people didn't move with their pets. It was expensive, often hard to do, and some countries had huge restrictions. Nancy explains, "My dad's dog, Doc, went with us to England in 1960. Poor guy spent 6 months in quarantine. It was awful visiting him there under those conditions. Then we took him to Hawaii in 1967, where he had another 3 months of quarantine. Awful conditions again. I don't know how he survived all that, but he was a real trooper." Cynthia says, "We brought our German Shepherd from Tripoli, Libya. She did her time in quarantine and came back to us pregnant. I guess all the dogs were social because Ginger went in as one and came out a family of six." Quarantine is why Linda's family didn't take a pet when they moved to London. They felt it wasn't fair to keep the animal caged that long, so they gave away all pets prior to that move. Some families didn't take their pets because they felt flying was tough on the animal. One military family had a schnauzer, which they shipped to Taiwan from Los Angeles. She was so traumatized when they picked her up in Taiwan, they swore they would never put another pet through an airplane flight again. Some military families did take their pets, some families more willingly than others. Vicky recalls, "We had a long-haired dachshund that we got from a family who was leaving Germany. When our time came to leave, Dad said we should start looking for someone to take Baron. My brother and sister went crazy, so finally Dad said we'd take him." Nancy tells about her bird, whose name was Bird, that traveled with her family when they moved from Scott Air Force Base to Pittsburgh when they were going to live while her dad was in Vietnam. "We stopped at Wright-Patterson to spend the night. We had to bring the bird into the VOQ for the night. Long story short, we left Bird, cage and all, at Wright-Patt. We were about 30 to 45 minutes east on I-70 when we figured out Bird wasn't in the car. We four kids boo-hooed enough that my dad turned around and went back to get that, quote, damn bird, end quote. It seemed easier to take a pet when military families traveled via ship." Mary remembers, "My first dog was a wire hair fox terrier. Bought her in Würzburg with my Stars and Stripes paper route money. I also paid to ship her back on the SS United States when we left Germany for the States." Eileen agrees, "We brought our dog home on the USS Constitution only after a full court press to raise money for his passage through our allowances, car washing, nefarious children's business practices, and my father's generous shoebox stuffing with $20 bills. Families didn't just take their cats or dogs. Military brat Susan's turtle made the trip. We brought him or her back to the U.S. on board ship in a box wrapped as a Christmas gift. Our waiter in the dining room gave me fruit and veggies to feed him. We did get papers from the vet to bring him home. Because his name was Tim, they just recorded the sex as male because no one really knew." One family recalls their white puppy arrived in the U.S. from overseas, black with soot. Apparently, her kennel was directly behind the smokestack. Rochelle remembers, "On our way to Japan in 1963, we hit a typhoon at sea while in the military transportation ship. I thought my mother was going to lose her mind because our miniature poodle, Bridget, was secured in a weatherproof kennel on deck. I was 16 and kept telling her the dog was fine, and the next morning she was. Bone dry, no accidents, and no broken bones. Yesterday, I met a woman who had spent her childhood in Iceland and Okinawa. She shared with me years ago when her family PCS from Okinawa to Alamogordo, the airlines lost her dog in Albuquerque. Because no one immediately claimed the dog, it was sent to a shelter in town. After months of frantic searching, her family managed to find their beloved pet." Do airlines really lose pets? Well, according to these folks, they do. Mark says, "We got a pup in Germany. Airline lost her on the way home. They finally got her back to us a few weeks later, picked her up in a hangar on the airbase. Never saw a dog happier to see us." Patrick shares this story. "We flew to Paris and our dog had to be quarantined and then would come over in a crate on a later plane. She escaped the quarantine in New York City of all places and could not be found. It looked like she was lost forever. She was found about 3 months later, placed on an airplane, and we were reunited in Paris. Her collar was removed, and this was before microchips. Divine providence for sure. We never did learn how she was found." Well, to be fair, Vicky says, it's not always the airline's fault. "We had our dachshund Trixie with us in Turkey, and when we came back to the States, we made plans to spend some time in Rome. Trixie was supposed to go to New York and be kenneled until we got there. That did not happen. We got to Istanbul and found out we did not have the right paperwork to get her to the U.S. by herself, so she got off the plane in Rome, and my parents found a hotel that allowed dogs, right next to the Spanish Steps, no less. My dad missed seeing the Vatican because he had to get the paperwork done for the dog. Some military family pets have unusual globe-trotting lives, just like their owners, and some of them lead a life of enormous privilege. For example, in 1947, Darlene's family lived in Arlington, Virginia, because her father was stationed at the Pentagon. The family dog, Boxy, quote, was driven, no joke, by herself in a staff car to Fort Wayne, Detroit. I will not be telling that story to Danny. He may feel he's getting a bum deal. So, I hope you enjoyed this story, and I hope that you have a pleasant evening. Maybe think sweet dreams about pets you've had in the past. At any rate, go to sleep, be well, and we'll see you soon.